Today's episode of Stands and Fits is brought to you by Exile Brewing Company. Exile currently has 14 beers on tap across various locations in Des Moines, Central Iowa, and the United States. Of course, six of those 15 beers are their flagships, of which Ruthie is my favorite, and it's what I'm sipping on tonight and every chance that I get. I highly suggest you check out their brewery on Walnut Street in downtown Des Moines, or pick up a sixer of any of their beers today at your favorite local establishment. Exile Brewing Company, the sponsor of Stands and Fits, savagely pursuing quality. I would say that Exile would be a fantastic Christmas gift for somebody that maybe doesn't live in Central Iowa.
Our office does a white elephant exchange, and I was thinking I would pick up some Exile for that.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. See, because I feel like there's, I wish they had like a variety pack or something with just like a bunch of their beers. I'm sure they do somewhere that you can get that. But
I bet you could go to Hy-Vee and do like those mix and match ones and kind of put together some Exile stuff.
Yeah, because I feel like they just have something for everybody's taste, you know. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my mom and dad about it when I was back for Thanksgiving, because obviously they don't really have, I think they have Exile at the Hy-Vee down there, but I don't think they really...
They probably don't have the full selection.
Right. And so my mom was asking me what the good ones were, and I was telling her about the Strawberry Bohemian and some other ones. I saw the Blueberry Bohemian. I think they have it bottled now.
Oh, really?
I saw that on Twitter. I actually saw on Twitter that they're selling Exile Brewing ugly sweaters.
I did see that.
Yeah. I really want one. That was awesome.
I wouldn't mind having one of those, and I've always kind of wanted a Star Wars ugly Christmas sweater, personally.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal as well. I asked for this really cool Iowa State sweater. Mm-hmm. I kept seeing these ads on Instagram. I don't know. Instagram does a really good job with their targeted ads, yeah. I'll say, because that's the only thing that I ever click on, targeted ads.
Yeah.
And they wrote me in. I sent the sweater to my mom and said, I want this for Christmas. It was really cool. But Iowa State's going to Memphis. Exactly. Hooray. Where we said a week ago we did not want to go.
I know. It's a little bit of a bummer, but I mean, it's good that so many fans can, you know, road trip down if they want or fly. And obviously playing Memphis in Memphis is a little bogus, but at the same time, it's a quality opponent, which is cool.
Well, yeah, and I saw that CBS Sports today wrote that it could end up being, you know, the best non-playoff,
non-power six or New Year's six. Yeah.
Yeah, like the best bowl game that of the year. And I think it's a good – just like contrast of styles. You know, Iowa State obviously likes to spread it out a little bit, but Memphis is about as spread it out and go fast as you can find in college football.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting because they've played not so good, you know, teams compared to Iowa State this year. And obviously playing in the Big 12, Iowa State's had a lot of experience slowing down those air raid style offenses, you know, the pass happy of the Big 12. So,
well, I'm interested to see too, because UCF had a lot of success against them with like vertical passing, and that's how they were able to have some of their quick scoring drives that they did. So I'm interested to see if Iowa State maybe does a little bit more of that than we've seen in the last
Hakeem Butler over the middle kind of lob it out things.
Yeah, Hakeem Butler over the middle. UCF really killed them with the tight end. I'd like to see Chase Allen get a little bit more involved maybe. So, you know, I think that's going to be interesting, but you know, as much as anything, I just think it's really cool to have this senior class go out with a bowl game.
It'll be good. Hopefully they have a good showing and it can end it on a real good note.
I saw Jamie Pollard tweeted that they've sold like 12,500 tickets. Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Within 2 days of going on sale.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Great response from Iowa State fans.
Well, and even then, that's only the tickets that have been sold through the university. So who knows how many
they've sold on
StubHub and stuff like
that. Yeah, I know a few people who have definitely bought through the Liberty Bowl directly. So there's definitely going to be a nice Iowa State contingent in Memphis.
Do you know what the capacity of that stadium is?
I think it's around 50K, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Did you go the last time?
I did not.
What's the status update on your, is your wife going to let you go?
The compromise is that I will probably not be going this year, unfortunately, but the compromise is she left the door open that if we go somewhere warmer next year,
okay,
because hopefully we'll still be on the upswing, then maybe that'll be in the cards next year.
So you're saying that if they would have gone to Orlando and you guys could have gone to Harry Potter World again, you probably would have got to go.
See, that would have been something I could have used to sell her on it.
Yeah.
Like, she's
what? She's not an Elvis Presley fan?
Well, I brought up the whole Graceland thing and she was like, Elvis, really? That's what you're going to try to draw me in? But, you know, Beale Street, it's cool, but at the same time, my wife doesn't really know about Beale Street either, so.
Yeah.
Just waiting for Harry Potter World, like you said.
Well, Rob came in for the Monday rundown on Monday, and he's like, yeah, I'm already planning out all these places I want to go. And he was listing off all these different, you know, Civil Rights Museum and Stacked Records. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I'll probably just go to Beale Street. I haven't really thought about it. I was like, maybe I'll go to the Civil Rights Museum with you. I've never been to the South, really. I mean, I went to Atlanta when I was like 9.
Yeah.
But I think this would be an experience to go to Tennessee.
Just don't go anywhere
other than downtown,
outside of Beale Street.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was tweeting with Jared Smith today. He was saying that his hotel is in kind of a sketchy area, and I was like, well, what's the worst could happen? You'll only get murdered. Like, I don't know why you're worried.
Nice knowing you, Jared.
Right, exactly. So I think it's gonna be a fun time. I think that it'll be good to, as much as anything, it'll just be good to get back to a bowl game, you know.
Yeah.
And it'll be nice to get to go do something fun for
4 or 5 year drought.
Last few days
has left us all very thirsty.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I think about, have you been to the Big 12 tournament before?
The basketball one?
Yeah.
No.
So, I just think about that, like how much fun it is when, you know, you get all the Iowa State fans in one place and everybody's just having fun and, you know, you're meeting people that you wouldn't really ever get a chance to meet normally, just people on Twitter and stuff like that. Our guy Adam Klein's going to be disappointed, though.
I know. I was looking forward to meeting Adam because, you know, he's been following me since I was with Wide Right and Light, too. So
it's funny. He tweets at me relatively often.
Yeah.
Has never followed me.
Oh, really?
Ever. I don't think he has ever followed me.
Adam, you have to follow Jared now.
Yeah. And it's like I said, he's the guy that got me blackballed by the podcast because he got offended when I
That's right. That's
when he thought
the story,
I was mad that Adam was saying ass.
Because you were obviously so offended by all these swear words going
around. I am the one who has been told multiple times to not say any more curse words so that we don't get an explicit tag on our podcast.
You're just a very vulgar mouth.
Well, I will say that later on in the show, we will have a suggestive period of a few minutes. Just
I'm sure that you pulled off.
So if you hear anything, you know, that you think that you're hearing, you might not really be hearing it, but it'll make more sense later on the show. But obviously last night, you know, get the win over Northern Illinois in basketball, and I hear there's a pretty big game on Thursday.
Supposedly. I mean, it's, if you think about it from a certain point of view, as in, like, the team that we're playing is the first non-winning team that we played all year, then it's not a very good game.
I knew you were going to go that way.
Yeah.
I knew you were going
to
go that way.
Yeah, I'll give a shout-out to my boy Clone Teach. I believe tweeted that out last night.
Yeah.
Iowa, you know, it's always just a big rivalry game, no matter during the down years. Like, I remember back when I was in high school, even the Greg McDermott-Todd Licklider matchups were always big news. Being in the state, obviously.
This is a throw the record books, throw out the records game. I mean, we think about last year. Going into that one, I didn't see any way that Iowa State was going to lose that game.
I bought tickets along with 3 other buddies, and we went to that game last year thinking it would be a comfortable Iowa State win, and we'd be able to see it in Carver and, like, make fun of all the Hawkeye fans there.
And it very much was not.
It was not. We had a disappointing drive home.
Yeah, that was one of the more just, like, game got over and you're like, what the hell just happened?
It was that game. Everyone was so concerned about our offense after that game because it was just total isolation ball and nothing could get going.
Yeah. Well, and that's what kind of plagued them early on in the season, even in early on into Big 12 play. Mm-hmm. And then, when the switch flipped and they went on their big run at the end of the Big 12 play, that was what, kind of went away. Mm-hmm. And it's that same thing that Steve Prohm is going to, like, he lets these guys just, like almost lose a game and be like, see, what you want to do does not work.
Yeah.
And I respect that about him, but at the same time, it's really stressful.
Especially when it's the Iowa game that is using that as an example.
Did you hear what he said today about, they asked him what he remembered from the game 2 years ago? And he was like,
being down 20.
Yeah. He's like, I just remember looking at the scoreboard, being down 20 in my first year to your biggest rival and thinking, man, this is not good.
But honestly, the performance that Jared Utoff put on that game was incredible.
Oh,
in the
it
first
was
half.
Insane.
He
was
had
on
30
another
and a half,
level.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he was on another level was, in that
was
first half of that game.
Incredible. Like the best shooting performance in one half that I've ever seen of any player.
Yeah. Well, and that's what, and then he kind of said, he's like, and then I just remember in the second half, we're down 20 and we make a shot to get down 18 and the whole arena just erupted. Mm. And it was like, all right, now let's go. And then they went on a big run, obviously tied it and then won the game on Monte's shot at the end.
Yep.
That's the only time that I went to an Iowa State game when I was a student, and I got turned away because I didn't get there in time.
Oh, really?
To get a seat, yeah.
So you weren't covering with Cyclone Fanatic yet then?
No, I didn't cover I covered the team, mm-hmm. you know, going to availability.
But that game you weren't covering.
I wasn't credentialed. Rob gotcha. And Chris were the ones that had the credentials, so I had student tickets.
You were really unlucky that game.
Yeah, it was horrible. We were like the last people that didn't get in. It was probably our own fault that we didn't show up until, and you know, we didn't go get in line. I was not a wait in line person, so.
You're not that diehard.
No. Hmm. Well, the only time I think I did wait in line was for the Kansas game that year, which was obviously worth it since you know, they ended up winning that game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think for this one on Thursday night, anybody that's watched, and this is what I was going to tweet this last night. Like, I know that people, if you've watched Iowa this year, you're thinking, oh my God, like this team is not good. Iowa State's going to be, you know, favored. They're going to beat mm-hmm. these guys handily. I've seen people saying that on Twitter. And I just want to temper everybody's expectations a little bit, because I think that they just have like an odd way of figuring something out when it comes to playing Iowa State.
Yeah. It's almost like Iowa has the talent.
Yeah.
I think they have some good pieces, but again, obviously, they're still learning to play without Peter Jock, and Fran just plays like, what, 11 deep?
Yeah.
And well, that's what... You know, you can't get in a rhythm if you got that many people going out there.
And that's my thing about that is it's just... It is... And this is actually interesting. I heard George Weyers was on Sports Fanatics today with Chris, the Central softball coach. Mm-hmm. And they were he was kind of talking to him about that, and he was like, if you're playing 11 people, it usually says to me that your top five or six is not that good.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that that's as much of what it is. I feel like their whole 11 is just even, really, you know? Like, they're all... And this is... I was talking to, I want to say, Dave Sproul last night, and I was just like, I feel like every guy that they bring in is almost the same guy. It's mm-hmm. just like one... Like, they're all the same,
yeah.
you know?
Because, I mean, I remember, like, a few years ago, especially in, like, Fred's last couple years, it seems like he went, you know, 9 or 10 deep there in the early non-conference games just to see, you know, what he had in his rotation.
Yeah.
To see who could play, you know, the best out there any given night. And so he eventually whittled it down until it was about 7 or 8 in conference play, depending on the foul trouble. But I feel like Fran never really does that a whole lot. Like he
just keeps rolling with it.
He does. And I don't know why exactly, because they're not a pressing team. It's not like they're exhausted out there.
He should learn from John Calipari in 2000, whatever that was, 15.
Yeah. The platoon system.
When, you know, they had 10 guys that are probably playing in the NBA right now on that one team. Mm. Obviously, they went it all the way to Final Four. They were undefeated.
Yep.
And I think he figured out after about a month, it was like, yeah, this isn't going to work. You know, we've got all these good players, but this is not the way that we're going to win games this year.
It got so much media coverage there in the beginning of the year because it was like some big innovative thing with all these freshmen and throwing them out there. But he eventually came back to his regular basketball sense.
Yeah, and I think that Fran just needs to do that. Mm. He'd be like, you know, this is probably not working. And I know they've got a lot of guys that I think can play. Mm. So it's hard to keep everybody happy, you know. But I think that if you want to win games, you just have to, you've got to keep your best players on the floor all the time. Your guys that are performing, you know.
Going back to the Iowa State team last year, like we talked about how they were bad on offense at the beginning of the year. It looked like they would never get it figured out. And kind of like that's what's in the back of my mind about this year's Iowa team. It's like once they start getting it figured out, I think mm-hmm. they'll win some games. Hopefully it's just not against us on Thursday.
Right. Well, I was watching that game last night, and the thing that sticks out to me, their roster is so like unorthodox the way that it's constructed with, I mean, they don't have very many guards. They don't really have a true point guard. And they've got all these guys that are like 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", with long arms. And, you know, a couple of them can shoot a little bit, but they're not like any knockdown, stretch four type shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have too many guys, I feel like, that can't dribble the ball more than like two times before they need to pass it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as a diss. It's just like that I feel like they have way too many guys that are playing out of position for what they are or where they would be best utilized.
Like, I'm trying to figure out a recent Iowa State player comparison of like what they have. It's almost like they have a bunch of slightly less athletic Rashawn Clarks. I don't know if you remember Rashawn Clark. He was a little bit before your time.
Rashawn Clark will be at the game on Thursday night, by the way.
That's right. But it's like he wasn't really known for his outside shot. Yeah, he could go up and get a board, or he can, you know, do a little bit of slashing. But at the same time, he's not going to be reliable score necessarily every night, you know?
He's like Dustin Hoge. Or they're kind of like Dustin Hoge.
A little bit. You know? I think Dustin was an underrated shooter.
Well, yeah, okay. Junior year, Dustin Hoge, maybe more.
Yeah.
Where I did, any time that Dustin was putting the ball on the floor, I don't... And he was a good enough shooter, and I think that that's what a lot of those Iowa guys are, is that they are reliable, like they're good enough shooters. Mm-hmm. When if you leave them open, they can knock it down, but they don't have anybody around that can put enough pressure on a defense to make it, except for maybe Tyler Cook, to where you've got to kick it out and they're going to get open shots like what Dustin did in the corners a lot of times his senior year. But when Dustin would put the ball on the floor, I don't know, it might have just been me, but I had to hold my breath a little bit. I was just like, when he would try to attack the rim, I was just like, oh my God, come on, Dustin.
Part of it was don't lose the ball. Part of it was don't run someone over.
Yeah. You know? See, it's just, like he just wasn't a pure slasher. Yeah. And that's what it is about these guys, is they're all long. You know, I think they're all skilled around the rim, but they're not a guy that when they're 20 feet away from the hoop,
I'm
not concerned about them, because I don't feel like they're going to drive by somebody.
No.
And maybe they'll prove me wrong. Maybe they'll figure something out here before that game, and Thursday night they'll come out and be completely different.
Yeah.
But I just don't feel like that's the case.
I think I don't know a single lot of names, but obviously you know where I was going to go with that. I think. But Iowa State's guard court, you know, they're quick enough to stay in front of those guys and, you know, keep them out of the
paint.
You
can single out names. Come on, create some controversy here. Like,
you know.
Is it J-Bo?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, J-Bo, I was going to go on the Iowa State side. If Jeff Beverly gets matched up on one of their more skilled guys on the perimeter, I think Beverly's a banger, but at this point, I was going to go the route of Cameron Lart should be starting.
Yeah.
Or he could be getting more minutes.
But I understand why he's not.
The fouls.
Well, it's that, and I mean, I don't know Jeff Beverly that well. Obviously, he's only been here for 6 months or something like that.
You got to figure there's leadership.
But I think it's that, and with those grad transfers too, you have to remember that they came here to play.
Yeah.
You know, and he came here thinking that he was going to start.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what Daryl Bowie was like at the beginning of last year. I feel like you didn't want to take him out of the starting lineup and risk, you know, losing him. Kinda. Yeah. So they almost need him. They almost need to play a little bit longer and have Cameron like really prove that he needs to be the starter, and then kind of show Jeff like, yo, you're gonna come off the bench, but this is what we need from you, and we think that you can be really good in this role.
Yeah, I was kind of telling my friends too. I wouldn't be opposed to the idea of Prohm using the excuse that, hey, Iowa's a little bit longer, I think we need to put Cameron Lard in the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, and then running with it for the rest of the year.
Yeah. But I think Cam can put a lot of pressure on them, because their big guys are good, but I don't think they can run like he can.
No.
You know?
I think he's definitely the fastest big man between both teams.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he's really good, man. Mm. And they talked about with Jameel, you know, when Steve first got here, how hard he pushed him to run the floor every time. I think he had some trouble sometimes, really until the end of that year. He had to suspend Jameel at that one point.
Mm.
And I think it wasn't until the end of that year that he really bought into that, you know, I have to run every single time.
Yeah.
And then once he did, you really started to see him play pretty well there, you know, leading up until the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And I think that Cameron's really bought into that pretty much from the beginning. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to run the court, and I know that if I do this, it'll get easy buckets for me, and it'll help create easy buckets for other people.
We definitely saw some of that against, you know, Northern Illinois last night. Cameron got some real easy looks at the basket.
Well, that play when he blocked the three, and then they threw it ahead to him, I mean, that was just good. You know, obviously, it looks like an easy play.
Athletic play.
But to be running essentially full speed the other way after blocking a shot, catch the ball over your shoulder and go up and dunk it after one dribble, I mean, that's a tough play.
As a big man, especially.
And as a freshman big man, he made it look pretty easy. Mm. And that was kind of one of those moments where I was like,
potential, man.
Okay, yeah. And then there was a move he made in the post where I don't know if he caught it off of a dump down, or I don't think he caught it like on a post up, but he got it and he kind of just did like a little turnaround, like with his
touch shot.
Yeah, like a touch shot, and he put it right in. And I was like, man, okay.
A little bit of post up porn there.
Yeah, a little bit.
A mild degree.
A mild degree. But I mean, I was just like, damn, okay. Like, I see you there. Mm-hmm. But I think he's only going to keep getting better. And as he gets better, this team is going to get better, just because he adds another dynamic that a guy like Solomon or, doesn't really add.
Yeah.
And Lindell Wigginton is really good.
Oh my gosh, he's so good. Like, I was I was kind of thinking and hoping that that would be how he would look in the first couple games of the year. Obviously, that's like borderline unrealistic expectation, but he's really come into his own the last couple games.
He's been one of the best freshmen in the country, which is crazy considering how good
Trey Young.
Trey Young and Marvin Bagley,
the big guys,
and all those guys. But yeah,
Mobamba,
DeAndre Ayton at Arizona. But I mean, he is just he makes things look way too easy.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't know that Iowa State's had a player like that. I mean, George had some times where he made some things look pretty easy. But
it's a different kind of easy.
Like, yeah, it was different because George just was – his footwork was so good and stuff like that, that he could – if a guy took one misstep, he was going to burn you that way.
Mm.
But I think that Lindell is just so athletic that it doesn't matter what way you're going. He can burn you no matter what, and just because he's that talented.
Mm-hmm. So the discussion I was having with some buddies earlier today is, you know, if Wiggy keeps up this pace of, 18 plus points per game and keeps on shooting about 40% from three throughout the year, is he truly a one and done? Like, do you think he would leave?
No, I don't think so.
Well, the thing is, you can't use the excuse of, he has to come back and work on his body or his athleticism, because he's a pretty, solidly built guy, and obviously he's athletic as hell.
I mean, he would have to do a lot to get himself in position to be picked, I think.
Is the main knock on
him? Because
he's
not even in, like, the top hundreds that I've seen for draft boards.
Well, not right now, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying, but he would have to do a lot to show that he... And he'd have to do a lot against Big 12 teams to show that he was ready for that, I think.
Yeah, but that's the theoretical, if he does keep this up through the Big 12 season.
I mean, I think that at the end of the year we'll be having that discussion.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that we'll get there. Not that I don't think he can play at that level.
I think he'll have games like that occasionally.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll be able to consistently maintain that level every night, you know? And maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I hope that I am, because if he does play like that, they're going to be really good.
Yeah, that's good news for Iowa State.
And obviously, if Nick Wyer-Babb can continue to dish out 11 assists every night with one turnover or whatever, and they're going to be fine. It's because we saw last night what Donovan Jackson can do when he got hot in the second half.
Yeah.
And if you give that guy an inch of space, he's as good as any shooter in college basketball, I feel like. He's got to be one of the most underrated shooters in the nation.
He's the best shooter since Tyrus McGee, in my opinion.
Just like pure, I mean, every time he shoots it, I'm like, that's going in, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether there's a guy that – because there was a couple times last night where he had a guy right in his face.
And he still made
it. And if he gets the shot, if he can get it up, then I'm pretty confident that he's going to be able to knock it down, you know? And Naz and Matt were obviously really dangerous shooters.
Yeah.
But I just feel like they had to be more open than what he does.
Agreed.
You just give Donovan an inch of space, he'll knock that down.
Naz is the kind of guy, he could rattle off, five in a row on any given night. But
he could also rattle off five misses in a row.
Exactly. And then Matt was kind of the guy who's like, he's a high percentage shooter, but at the same time, I don't feel like, for some reason, I was just never as confident with Matt shooting the ball as I am now with like Donovan.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like completely illogical of me, but it's just the way I feel.
I don't know. I mean, we've been saying this for a while, but I think it moving Nick to the point guard has just allowed those guys they're free, to just be like, I'm a scorer. Like, that's all I do is I score the basketball. Well, on that end at least. But, and I think that he's really flourished in there. I mean, he scored all of his points on three-pointers last night.
Yeah.
So, if he can knock down shots like that, he's going to have one hell of a season.
Mm-hmm.
But Thursday is also big for another reason. You will be making your Cyclone Fanatic debut as a media member at the game.
That's right.
How does it feel to know that you'll be a credentialed member of the media at Hilton Coliseum for the Cy-Hawk game?
For the Cy-Hawk game, makes it pretty special.
It'll be a memorable moment.
It will.
You can't cry, though. If I look over at after starting lineups and you're crying, I'll have to take your man card.
Well, yeah. You'll have to like embarrass me somehow. Like, take a picture and post it all over Twitter.
It'll be like the why am I crying in the club right now meme.
Yeah, exactly.
Why am I crying at the game right now?
It would become my version of the photo that always gets brought up when Kirk Holland, like him in the crowd.
Yeah,
it'd be my version of that.
Yeah, for sure. But I made you a list of things that obviously I'll be sitting right next to you on press row. So I made you a list of things that you can't do. Some of them are obvious. Like the first one is you can't cheer,
which is a big bummer. I mean, come on. You're at a basketball game. You should be allowed to cheer. Stupid press.
We're we're unbiased media members.
I'm totally unbiased, as you can already tell.
Well, yeah, obviously I'm unbiased as well, considering...
You work for Cycling Fanatic. That's the most unbiased media source ever.
Well, yeah, exactly. But that's why they put us up top, away from the actual actual journalists.
The Big J journalists.
Yeah, we're just the hacks that sit up on the... on the top concourse.
Yep.
Second one is you can't fight with any Hawkeye fans in the crowd.
Well, okay. The thing about this one is hopefully there won't be many Hawkeye fans near us.
But like, if there are any, then you can't fight with them.
Okay.
And I don't want you to try and provoke any.
Maybe I'll have to get some rope and tie my hands behind my back then or something.
We probably should just not let the Hawkeye fans know that you're going to be there.
That's probably a good decision.
Yeah. All right. The third one, you can't cold takes expose any Hawk fans on Twitter while you're sitting on press row.
Save that for after the game when I'm in the comfort of my own home.
Yeah. See, if you would do that, then I'm fine. But we should not do that from press row.
All right. I can agree to that one.
The next one, you can't yell at the officials.
This one's going to be tough. Because, you know, if whoever's working this game, if they give one bad call, I'm going to be tempted to boo.
No, but... See, you can be mad at them,
yeah,
but just do it under your breath. And you'll see. I sit there and I make comments, but you just can't yell the things.
I feel like the solution to all this is just keep my face like buried in my computer screen as this is happening. Like, oh, everyone else is booing at the officials, but I'm just going to type it away.
Yeah, you might as well just turn the other way, and I'll tell you what's happening in the game.
Okay, I'll rely on you.
Yeah, there you go. All right, the next one is, I have some words that you can't say. Okay.
Are they bad words?
Yeah, they're bad words. You can't yell them. You can say them. Like I said, you can say them under your breath. You can say them to me.
Okay.
But we're not going to yell any words of that are on this list. Okay.
Okay. Okay. You're coming out of the gate swinging with that one. Okay. Yeah. Ooh.
And there's some more that I'm sure you can figure out on your own, but those, I think that those should give you a good enough idea of what, you know, what we're thinking here.
In all honesty, I've probably used maybe two of those, like actually cheering in Hilton. But
have you used them when you're angry at an official? Maybe call him a.
I don't call him a. Probably just be saying, like, you're terrible at your job. Go home. You know, you big idiot.
You really showed him.
I'm a PG officials berator. Yeah.
You're the only person at Hilton Coliseum that's a PG officials berator.
I know. I'll save my vulgarity for when Iowa State gets screwed at Kansas State in football and occasions like that.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. All right. So that's our list of things that you can't do on press row. If I think of any more, I'll make sure and let you know about
it. So I noticed absent from this list, you didn't include me like berating fellow media members. Apparently that's okay. I can do that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, unless you're going to go at, are you going to try and fight? Do you have any beefs with any of the Iowa State media members? We should get this out in the air. Okay. Do you have any beefs with any Iowa State media members?
Okay. Well, I don't know if this is like known, but I was the guy who wrote the Travis Hines, always miss, like his, you know, he tweets about his deadline all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like a running joke. I was the guy who tweeted that out or wrote that article.
Have you mended fences with Travis?
No. Like I'm pretty sure like he just ignores me and everyone associated with me now.
Well, he'll be there on Thursday. We can see if we can mend the fences.
We should get him
on the podcast. And
that'd probably be a little awkward.
We'll have another Hatchetberrian podcast.
Like, I don't have anything against Travis, obviously.
See,
it's just funny.
I know that Chris is going to come on sometime. And I feel like even then, like, we'll have a conversation about your past on Cycling Fanatic.
Well, yeah, because I still need to mend that with Chris, obviously.
Have you met Chris yet? I know we talked about this at one point.
Not face to face, no.
Okay. So see, that needs to be like the first time that you guys actually meet each other.
It does.
And then we need to be sipping
on Four Locos.
Yeah.
It needs to be getting crazy.
That's what we talked about. But all right, is Travis the only one? Is there anybody else?
I don't think I've ever gotten in a beef with anyone else.
Did you write the thing about Ross after he went on his...
No, that
I think
was,
he's going to be at the game, actually.
Is he?
I know we heard that. I heard him talking about that on the show.
That was Tom Danielson.
Okay.
I was managing editor when that was published, so technically I had a hand in it.
I think he ropes all of the wide right Natty Light guys into the thing.
Well, it's because whenever a story like that comes out, it comes out from the wide right Natty Light account, basically.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really give authorship as... you know, much as a Second Fanatic might do.
Wide Right Natty Light tried to create a blog war last night with the Tailgate Society. Did you see that on Twitter?
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, really, but
they
got in the beef with Ted.
Yeah, I saw that. So Ted retired the Cyclone Bingo, which has become famous on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then the joke was Wide Right came out with their own version of Cyclone Bingo, and it was meant to be as a joke, I'm pretty sure, but it was a little bit little bit shaky on the the introduction.
Yeah, I was sitting there during the game. I was just like, come on, guys. It's just bingo. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. So you can't berate any media members.
That's, all right.
To get back to what your question was, I should have included that on
okay,
here.
So.
No, you can't. Hey, you can't say anything to Chad. We're just going to stay away from Chad Lysico. We're not going to talk to any of the Hawkeye guys.
Okay. Okay.
We're not doing that.
I forgot that they'll all be there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Mark Morehouse is probably my favorite, like based on Twitter interaction. I feel like he's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll be there. I'm sure he probably will. But
so, okay. Since we're on the topic of media members, give me your top three media members and why. There, you're in top three power rankings right now
of Cyclone Media.
Yeah,
members?
Cyclone Media members.
Well, number one, Chris Williams, obviously.
Suck up.
all right. Well, I'll exclude Cyclone Fanatic guys because I'd probably just say
Rob Gray.
I would say Chris, Rob, and myself.
Yeah.
All right. I'll say Tommy Burch, number one. That's my guy. Been my boy for as long as I've been on the beat.
All right.
Dave Sproul.
Gotcha.
From KASI. He actually sits right next to us on first row.
He tweeted at me the other day with when he listened to the pod, and you know, we were...
He was not impressed with our Elvis
quote,
takes.
Quote, unquote, not impressed with Elvis Presley and Graceland,
yeah.
So...
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll say him. I interned with him my junior year of college, the summer after my junior year. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun. And then this one's going to create some controversy. I'll say Randy Peterson. That's my guy. I rode down to Columbia with him for the basketball game. Yeah, I like Randy. Me and Randy have never had a problem with each other.
Very good.
Travis is gets honorable mention.
Honorable mention. All Jared's Big 12.
Also honorable mention, Dylan Montz and Alex Halstead.
Yeah.
Who else am I forgetting? That I'll just list everybody. Yeah. Say they're all everybody else's honorable mention.
I love you all equally, even though I just rated you.
Yeah. all right. So that's our... Now that you put me on the spot, and
I
surely made someone angry. All right. Hot and not this week. We've got a couple good ones here.
Yep.
My hot is making yourself look stupid during coaching searches. This could have been our hot last week. I mean, obviously, we talked a lot about everything that happened at Tennessee. They still do not have a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And today it was tweeted by Bruce Feldman that they had not met with T. Martin, who led them to a national championship in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 hours later, it came out. Philip Fulmer and T. Martin just had a meeting, and it went well.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, so they probably just met because everybody was like, what the hell? Why is Tennessee not met with T. Martin yet?
You have to meet with them, otherwise you're doing your job wrong.
Yeah. Well, Phil Fulmer was his coach.
Yeah.
And... That seems like the most obvious.
It's a no-brainer.
Well, everybody that I was talking to today was saying like their search probably should have started and stopped with T. Martin, just because, you know, he played there. Obviously, he was there in their heyday, and now he's had a lot of success at USC.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even talk to him until today.
Mm-hmm.
That does not make very much sense. But nothing that Tennessee has done has made very much sense.
It's been funny to see all these other coaching chips fall.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Tennessee is just sitting there in flames.
And their job has been open. Almost the longest of all the schools. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who you got for your hat? What do you have?
My hat is Baker Mayfield's swag. So is he probably a douchebag? Yes. But is it becoming increasingly tougher to not like the guy after a tweet like he sent out the other day, which was apparently his cell phone number got leaked out like to the public. And he said, to whoever posted my cell phone number, bravo, but I got it changed. And to the Georgia fans that had the kind words of encouragement, I applaud your creativity. Like, that's just, I applaud that he has some balls to tweet something like that.
That dude is awesome.
Yeah.
He's kind of a crazy MF-er, but he's awesome.
He's got a lot of the same qualities that Johnny Manziel had, except I actually find myself like wanting to root for Baker for whatever reason.
Yeah. How stupid is it that Saquon Barkley didn't even get invited to the Heisman? Sorry, this just like made me think of this.
No, that's fine. So yeah, it was Baker, Bryce Love, and Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Those are three good players.
Honestly, it's dumb because I think that if Lamar Jackson's team would not have been not very good, I feel like he probably would have won again.
Yeah, because he had basically the same numbers he had last year.
Almost the exact same. And I know Baker probably should win. You know, I mean, I think he's been really good. But when you're putting up the numbers that Lamar Jackson has 2 years in a row, take him off Louisville and they probably win two games or something. Yeah. Like that, his win shares has to be the highest in college football. I don't know if they keep that stat. But
and the thing is, if like the other scenario that you kind of use in the NBA when you go like, who's the greatest player, you know, right now? But if you swap Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson on their respective teams.
Oh, Lamar Jackson wins the Heisman in a landslide.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I feel like Baker Mayfield probably does about the same, like, record-wise at Louisville as Lamar Jackson did this year.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that Lamar Jackson's electric. But like I said, Saquon Barkley should be at the at least be in New York.
Bryce Love was by far and away the nation's leading rusher, though, correct?
Yeah, he was close to 2,000 yards. I don't think he ended up going over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was hurt bad in that championship game. Anybody that watched that could see he was hurting pretty
There's,
bad.
Is there an official rule that says you can only invite 3 players to the ceremony?
No, definitely not, because I feel like they've invited 5 before.
Yeah, that's what I felt like, too, like all the finalists, basically.
Yeah, so that's what didn't make sense to me. I think 2 years in a row now, they've only invited 3, and they've left people out, pretty much.
Because Barkley is definitely, you know, he should be in the discussion for winning Heisman.
I imagine that he will probably finish 4th. Like, I would think that he had to have been the 4th person, like the guy that just was left out.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think he's going to be a really good NFL back.
Yeah. And that's what doesn't, like, he was the front runner for a lot of the year. I think that if nothing else, he should get to go just to be recognized for that, you know.
It seems like after they lost to Ohio State, like his
everybody
stock
forgot
just
about
dropped
Penn State.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, everybody forgot about Penn State.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, I bet he ends up getting the second most first place votes. Because there was a lot of people that were talking about how he should be.
Yeah, it was between him and Mayfield for a long time.
Yeah. And so I know why Bryce Love now, he's probably going to get second, and then Lamar Jackson will get third, and then I think Barkley will get fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And I know why Bryce Love is that way, because he was one of those guys that put the team on his back for the most part, too.
Mm.
But I don't know. I feel like he, I just think Saquon Barkley should have been there, because that guy's electric. Mm-hmm. He's one of the few guys in college football that any time he was on, like, you would turn on Penn State to watch Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
It's just like Louisville. If you're going to watch Louisville, you're not watching Louisville to watch all the other guys. You're watching Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. That's my little rant about Saquon Barkley. All right, my not. This is from Monday. Herm Edwards and the Arizona State Sun Devils, the new head coach of the Sun Devils. I should have pulled the audio from this, but apparently Herm does not like devils.
Yeah.
And I think that someone should let him know what the mascot for his team is. He's going to be really confused when he goes to his first game and Sparky runs out on the field.
Yeah, and then I remember the thing that sparked it was the reporter in the crowd, you know, they introduced themselves and where they're from, and he was from a site called Devil's Digest.
Yeah.
And then that caused...
Devil's Digest? Where are you from, man?
Yeah, you worshiping the wrong people? It's like...
We good? It's like, what are you talking
good.
About?
I'm a wholesome man.
I feel like his press conferences will be must-see. Like,
yeah, because
who knows if Arizona State will win any games when he's their coach? Because I think that they of all the stupid things that have happened in coaching this, like in the coaching searches this year, this is among the stupidest things.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably gotten buried a little bit because of all the other people doing stupid things.
Yeah.
But the fact that they hired a new coach, paid $12 million to get rid of their old one, and then didn't get rid of any of the assistants.
Yeah.
And it's a guy that has not coached in college football in like 20 years.
There is no way that they improve their position from where they are right now, in my opinion.
No. He was barely a 500 coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, there's that. It doesn't make any sense. It's just like, yeah, we're going to go get a famous guy and put him on.
Pretty much.
You know, like, you play to win the game. And that's all anybody knows Herm Edwards for. And and being on ESPN.
Yeah.
They might as well have hired Randy Moss. Like, if you're going to go hire somebody from ESPN, why not hire Randy Moss?
How awesome would it be to go to play college football for Randy Moss's college football
team? He's probably holding out for the Marshall job.
Probably.
Yeah. It's not.
Or Iowa State.
Him and Chad Pennington are going to be the co-head coaches of the Marshall Thunder and Herd.
Nice.
All right, what do you got?
My not this week is outrage over bowl committee inconsistency. I don't know if you agree with this or not, but the committee was formed so they can make decisions on the 4 best teams on a yearly basis, no? So, and not all years are going to yield the same scenarios and criteria.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be the same reasons that you pick teams every year. So, I'm a little bit fed up with the championship game losers I need to go back. If people wanted straight consistency, we should have stuck with the computers is my point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's not going to be the same every year. So why are you getting upset about the committee choosing different criteria? Like, that's why we have actual people picking instead of computers now. So, yeah, and I was just going to counterpoint myself. I was just saying, I don't like that the championship game losers like TCU, they're getting punished for losing championship games by having that 13 data point. Like, I don't think that TCU should be falling four spots in the final rankings like they did while a Washington stays or moves up even because they were inactive. So it's just unfair.
It doesn't make, I don't know. The only way to remedy this is to expand it. Mm-hmm. And I know they'll be like, well, maybe then you'll get people that don't deserve to be there or something like that. I would rather see people that don't deserve to be there than
someone
see people that
out.
Should get in, not, you know. Like, if you want to expand it to eight, I would much rather see the seventh and eighth teams get blown out. Mm-hmm. But you know that the fifth and sixth teams got there, and they deserve to be there, and then see, you know, then see them not get there.
Exactly. And who's going to turn down more football?
And more often than not, that eight is going to be competitive with each other.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be very often that you would get eight and be like, oh, you know, such and such team, who is eight this year? I think it's, you know, it would be like Miami.
Wisconsin, maybe, something like that.
It's Ohio State and Wisconsin are 5-6.
That's right.
And then I want to say it's Miami and
Auburn, maybe.
Yeah. And if you got those eight, like, you're going to get good games out of that regardless of what, you know. I mean, we would get a Auburn-Clemson rematch. Like, that would be awesome, you know. And so I think that there would – it. I don't know. Like I said, I feel like that's the only way to remedy the – if people are going to, you know, get pissed about it. Or do the – every conference champion gets in. You win your conference championship, you get in, and then we do – you get three at-larges, and that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And the three best at-larges are the ones that get in.
Yeah. And obviously there will be some controversy in those years. Well, this team deserved an at-large over that team. But at that point, it's like, yeah, but they're already the 6th, 7th, and 8th best teams.
Right.
Like, you know, they're not the best teams.
But I think it's what you saw with the NCAA tournament where, you know, they went from 64 to 68 or 65 to 68.
Whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, they expanded slightly.
Yeah, when they expanded it this last time, there was usually – before that, there was usually, like, those three teams that were just on the cusp. People would be like, oh, they should have got in. They should have got in. But since that happened, I feel like it's not near as often that there's teams that legitimately get left out that when you look at it, you're like, oh, yeah. You know, like that team should have been in the tournament.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's what I think that it would open that door.
Yeah.
Where it's just like there's not going to be as much of a discussion about, oh, this team doesn't deserve to be here.
And that's, you know, it's slightly different because, you know, there's so many teams compared to football. But at the same time, there's usually only, you know, roughly in the eight teams that like have two losses at the end of the year anyway.
Yeah.
So you just pick from those teams.
Well, and most of the time then, I mean, think about Auburn. Their two losses are Clemson and Georgia.
Yeah.
Who both are in the playoff, you know? So I think that most of the, Wisconsin, their one loss is Ohio State, who would also be in the playoff in that situation.
Yeah.
So more often than not, if you're in that top conversation, the teams that you probably lost to
are good
are in that conversation too, except for Clemson, who lost to Syracuse, which is they're pretty. And I mean, Oklahoma
Iowa State.
Oklahoma lost to Iowa State, but Iowa State was better than Syracuse was.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I did think it was they really. They really hit TCU hard with the don't lose to Iowa State thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay.
It's like, so were they paying any attention to Iowa State at all this year?
Well, obviously they were. They had them, 15th or 14th in their rankings at one point?
But at the same time.
See, but they forget. Those people forget real quick, dude.
They do.
Like, I don't know if they just get wrapped up in whatever it is, but I don't know. I feel like if you went back to that game and looked at it, I mean, Iowa State was ranked.
Well, yeah. And I feel like, you know, once they see that Iowa State lost to a couple of the mid-tier Big 12 teams, if they automatically think that the Big 12 isn't that good because, you know, I think they obviously don't think of the Big 12 as a SEC or a Big 10 level. If they don't think of them as that good, it's like, oh, Iowa State, they got a couple nice wins, but they lost to the middle of the Big 12, which isn't very good. So we're just going to make them down to be lowly Iowa State like they always are.
Apparently, they didn't watch that travesty in Manhattan. What the hell happened there?
Didn't deserve to lose.
All right. Moving on to our... All right. So we did our bowl pick five. We have not decided what the losers...
This really needs to be decided before the bowls start.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to change my...
So this needs to be the discussion in the forum this week. What are we going to do for our punishment?
Yep.
And I also feel like we need to come up with a tiebreaker. Because what if we both finish 3-2?
Maybe we should pick the score of the Iowa State game.
That's what I was thinking. So we can come back next week and we'll guess the score of the Iowa State game, and that'll be our tiebreaker. All right. So you want to go back and forth on these, or do you want to read all five at once?
We can go back and forth. Did you pick any of the same that I did?
I did the Sun Bowl.
Okay.
So we both have the Sun Bowl, NC State over Arizona State.
Good pick. Solid pick. I agree with your pick.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Arizona State, to be honest, but I was just I looked the line's like 8 and NC State, I've watched them a little bit. I was like, yeah, I feel like NC State will roll over them.
I agree. NC State was playing real good football earlier in the year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they pushed Notre Dame pretty hard there for a while. I mean, they won a couple nice games early in the season.
I think that they're more battle tested than Arizona State is.
Yeah. So I think Arizona or NC State will be able to win that one relatively easy in El Paso.
Yep.
I was just laughing at the names of these of these bowl games.
Dude. I put the full names for on our sheet here.
I noticed that. I did not do that, but all right. My first one. I've got Toledo over Appalachian State in the Dollar General Bowl.
I like it. I was really hard considering Toledo.
Yeah. How? This does not have anything to do with the game. I don't have any analysis on the game.
Okay.
What? I want to know why Dollar General Bowl does not have a Dollar General shopping spree as their bowl gift.
Think about how much you would go home with.
Exactly. It would be the most worthless stuff. Like you would not get anything good.
You'd be like, you'd have like 5 pencil sharpeners. You'd have like those little stick hands things where you like throw it against the wall and you bring it back to you.
And you could get so much candy. Like all the candy's like 10 cents there.
Yeah.
And just $500.
That's probably what most people would spend it on. They'd probably just spend it on a bunch of food.
Oh yeah. There's not like, I don't know. There's nothing of quality that you can really get at Dollar General.
Isn't it kind of surprising that Dollar General even sponsors a bowl in the first place?
Yeah. Like, but see, that's what makes it funny to me is that like, why, like, Dollar, like just think about Dollar General and then you're like,
there's a fair amount of Dollar Generals in Iowa, but I feel like every like small Iowa town has a Dollar General, but it's like the most like rundown store in town.
I never went to Dollar General to like, I'm like, oh, I got to go to Dollar General today.
Yeah.
You know? And there was one in Clarinda. We used to go there and screw around when we were like in middle school because it was right by the school. So we'd go there before basketball practice. But
the only reason that I went to Dollar General while growing up was because you could get cheap theater candy and then smuggle it into the theater.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Like the candy is the only reason that we would ever go to Dollar General. That doesn't make much sense.
I'm glad
sense
we're on the same plane there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird to me that Dollar General has a bowl game. All right, what's your next one?
My number one is the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
Boca Raton.
Boca Raton, sorry. Anyway, long name. So a Florida Atlantic over Akron. So obviously Iowa State played Akron earlier in the year, and I think they're a decent football team, but I think that Florida Atlantic.
You did way more research on these games than I did.
I had a little bit of time to kill. Florida Atlantic gets to play in their home state, and they are ranked 32nd in the nation to Akron's 95th, according to collegefootballanalytics.com.
I actually think Florida Atlantic is in Boca Raton.
Are they?
Yeah.
So it's like a Memphis and Liberty Bowl game.
Yeah, it's a home game pretty much.
And they have a sizable advantage, obviously.
Do we know what Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry is?
No. I don't know what Boca Raton is, obviously, either.
There's been so many. See, this is what I don't get about the bowl games. 95% of them are sponsored by things that I've never even heard of before.
Yeah. What's the Gasparilla mowers or something like that?
Yeah. Or what was the Fiesta Bowl for a couple of years? It was the
Tostitos is the main one, but what was
it? That's what it was forever.
Yeah.
But then it was the battle frog. And it was like the races. Mm-hmm. Like where you have to crawl through the mud.
Yeah, like kind of like a Spartan race.
Yeah. And that's what I'd never even heard of that before until they sponsored the Fiesta Bowl.
It's almost like you think of that as an off-brand race like that. But somehow they got to sponsor a bowl. Like apparently it must not be much money to sponsor a bowl game.
It can't be. I mean, no. If Dollar General is tossing around the cash to sponsor one, then what?
Next year, the Cyclone Fanatic Bowl game.
Dollar General probably makes a lot of money off, like, honestly. I don't know what they're... Do you think Dollar General is a publicly traded company? I wonder what their stock is worth.
I bet they are, actually.
Okay, I'm not going to...
We're not going to
go down this road right now. All right, my number two, I've got the Camping World Bowl, Oklahoma State over Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's pretty good, but I don't know. I like Oklahoma State in that game.
I would have picked them too. So yeah. I agree with you.
See, I literally just went through, get down. I literally just went through the list of bowl games and I just said, oh yeah, I kind of like that one.
Yeah.
And then that's how I pretty much went about it.
That's mostly what I did. I mean, I looked at the spreads obviously to like get me started on the right track, but then I'm like,
yeah. I looked for some of the biggest spreads. Yeah. And I was just like, okay, yeah, I can feel pretty confident about this one, I think.
Exactly. So my second one is the Walk-Ons Independence Bowl. I'm going with Florida State over Southern Miss.
Is this one sponsored by WOPA?
That would be very surprising.
Yeah.
So has FSU massively underachieved this year? Yes. But obviously the caliber of their athletes is still a massive upgrade over any team that Southern Mississippi has played all year long, even though they play Tennessee.
Cam Akers runs wild in this one. That's what I'll
He'll go for 200 yards on the ground.
Number four. My number three was the Sun Bowl. I think that's what you had your third one too. I've got the Music City Bowl, Northwestern over Kentucky.
Interesting.
I feel like Northwestern should win this game pretty easily, but Northwestern like never wins games easily.
Kentucky's either. A little bit closer to home. Do you think Big Blue Nation will show out?
No. This is not basketball. This is not the NCAA tournament we're talking about. Is it Mike or Mark Stoops? Mark Stoops.
Yeah. Mark.
One of the one of the not Bob Stoops brothers.
Yeah. I think.
I don't think that they travel too well for their bowl games. At least I would assume so. I feel like they probably don't get people to come to their home games.
That's why Iowa State's better than Big Blue Nation. We actually support our football team too.
I'm not going down that road.
Let's piss off Big Blue Nation on Twitter. Get some good traffic.
That is definitely not the people we want to piss off.
No.
Have you ever listened to Kentucky Sports Radio before?
Well, that and, you know, we talked about...
John Higgins.
John Higgins.
So, I saw Hollywood last night.
So don't piss them
off. He's in the house. All right, number four.
My number four is the Tax Slayer Bowl I'm going with.
Didn't this used to be the Gator Bowl?
Might have been. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. I want to know why they got rid of the Gator Bowl. Like, that was a game for a long time, and then they just were like,
recognizable bowl game name.
Yeah. See, there's some game. It's like the Fiesta Bowl. Like, they could never change it. It will always forever be the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl to me, because I just feel like that's what it was for so long.
And then, is it still the FedEx Orange Bowl?
No, now it's like the Discover Orange Bowl.
Because I think of it as the FedEx Orange Bowl.
Yeah, see, that's what I think of it, too. And then... the Rose Bowl was it
presented by something?
Yeah, it had the same thing for a long time. And then the Sugar Bowl was Allstate.
Yep,
and I think it still is Allstate, maybe.
That rings a bell.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Yeah. It's like, so there's some of them that have been the same for a long time, but they're, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Goodyear Cotton Bowl, that one's been that one for a long time.
Maybe 10 years from now, we'll be like, yeah, I just remember that Dollar General Bowl.
Yeah.
It's not the same to me.
That epic game between Toledo and App State.
Yeah.
Well, really solidified. Always remember that one.
Really solidified my decision to call it the Dollar General Bowl.
I think the one that probably is close to the longest, like, tenured sponsor is the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. I think that one's never changed from what I can remember.
Might be.
For the winner of the Sun Belt goes to that one.
So anyways, I need to get to my pick for this
game. Okay, sorry, yeah.
It's all good. I'm just going with Lamar Jackson and Louisville over Mississippi State. So Mississippi State will be without their head coach and their starting quarterback, Nick Fitzgerald, and they have to game plan for Lamar Jackson. Sounds like a recipe for disaster to me.
The Gator Bowl is a good game. My mom and dad went to that one a couple times. Number five, the Bahamas Bowl, Ohio over UAB. Got two MAC teams in my selection.
See, but this one you're wrong, because this is going to be the bring back their football program and then win a bowl game story for UAB. I'm telling you that right now. It's going to happen.
You're probably right. Crap.
Didn't think about that one, did you?
No, I didn't. See, that's why I was thinking about it. I was like, UAB's only had a team for 2 years again.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way they're winning a bowl game. Or wait, this is their first year back, isn't it?
It is their first year.
Oh.
So again, first year back, bowl game win.
See, but I don't want to switch it now. Because
it's on paper.
I'm all in on the Bobcats. I feel like I got to roll with them.
All right. Is Blankenship still there, or is he gone?
I feel like
we have to Google this now. I'll go over my number five while you're looking that up. So I did go with the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, and I'm going with Auburn over Central Florida in that one. So even though Scott Frost will be coaching this one for UCF, despite being the new head coach in Nebraska, which could mean some balls to the walls trickery, UCF is going to get a harsh dose of reality as to why they weren't considered for the college football playoff, even though they went undefeated. If Auburn can beat Bama, they can beat UCF.
He is not there anymore.
Okay.
Blankenship.
Well, we can just throw that rabbit hole down the train.
Bo Blankenship. He has actually not been on the team since 2013. So that
he's still in my heart.
Yeah. So there you go. He is definitely not with the team anymore.
Man, but that's time flies, dude.
That's our pick five. Like I said, we got to figure out what we're gonna do for the loser.
I'm surprised. I know you were kind of distracted, but I kind of brought up Scott Frost, and you didn't go into the Nebraska discussion.
No, no. People know how I feel. They know that I'm
fair enough.
I'm pleased with what took place. I'm gonna go get our drink.
All right, sounds good. So this evening, I am sipping on the flagship Ruthie, and it's very good. And earlier, Jared gave me my press pass, which I will use for the first time on Thursday, and it's purple colored and interesting because it's color of an in-state rival, you and I, which is not what I would have expected. So I'm going to have to find my way around Hilton. Not looking forward to that. A little anxious, but we'll get it done. It'll be good. So anywho, Jared's taking extra long, so this must be like an extra big beer or extra bad because he's just like delaying taking it. Oh, yeah. He actually told me this already, but we are drinking at the recommendation of one of our listeners. Jared got a Natty Rush.
New from whatever company makes.
It's Anheuser-Busch, isn't it?
Yes, it is. 8% alcohol by volume. Hurricane Punch.
Hurricane Punch. See, okay, I had to lob it out there that if there's ever flavor combinations, punch is usually one of the last that I get. Like, I'm not a big fruit punch kind of guy. Let me smell this.
It actually kind of smells good.
Yeah, it doesn't smell too bad.
Well, there's like three options, like watermelon, blue raspberry, and punch.
I would have went with blue raspberry personally.
Yeah, I was just, I don't know.
It's all good. But this pours out and it looks like a strawberry soda.
Yeah, which is about what I expected it to look like.
Yeah.
But I was told that they're supposed to be like stronger version of Four Loko. I don't believe it. I guess we'll see. Mm. I think they have a punch version of a Four Loko, but I don't think I've ever had it.
After this episode, we might have to like do a little subcategory of our rating, like, because obviously we had the Steel Reserve,
the pineapple one,
the pineapple.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this is probably gonna be better than the Steel Reserve pineapple.
You think so? I mean, I like that because I like pineapple, so
yeah,
I can't really hold that the flavor against this, I guess, but we'll see.
All right, we'll see. Cheers.
Cheers.
It's not terrible.
No. It's like, it reminds me of...
It tastes like something, but I can't tell what...
For me, it reminds me of Fruit Punch Gatorade.
That's what I was going to say. It's like if you put like a little Sprite in it, and then maybe put like a shot of vodka, and that's it.
In a Gatorade.
Yeah, in the Gatorade. Yeah, so if like you drank it down, you know, like in a 20-ounce Gatorade bottle, you drank it down to like the line.
Yep.
And then you put just a little bit of Sprite in there, and then you topped it off with a shot of vodka.
It basically tastes exactly like that.
Yeah, this is what I think it would taste like.
They might have actually stolen Gatorade, and that's their mixture.
Yeah. Like, this, it tastes exactly like Gatorade. This is, I actually kind of like it. I don't know if
So, you know what happens now? Next time at a sporting event that you really don't care about, you dump out your Gatorade, you pour this into your Gatorade bottle, and you could be sipping this on the sideline on the bench.
I'm probably not going to do that.
Yeah, it'll probably be a little dehydrated.
Especially with 8% alcohol by volume. I feel like that would end very dangerously. I don't think that would be a very good idea. But yeah, that really is not bad at all.
No.
I'm going to take another drink. That's actually kind of good.
You know, strangely, I think I do like it better than the Steel Reserve, even though I like pineapple better than Fruit Punch.
It has kind of a weird, like, has a weird feeling to it when you swallow it. I don't know how to describe it. It just makes your mouth feel really empty.
And now that I've, like, you poured it out in a glass for me, I can smell a little better. It smells a little bit odd to me, but
That could also be the mug.
The mug? Oh, okay.
see, a funny story about these mugs. My dad gave them to me. My mom and dad got them as wedding gifts.
Oh, really?
In 1987. They'd never been taken out of the box.
And really?
Then, yeah. And I don't know where he found them. He just said, hey, do you want these? And said, we got them as wedding gifts, and they've never opened them.
Well, I feel honored to be sipping on these Mr. and Mrs. Stansberry wedding gifts.
So they're from, those are 30-year-old mugs that had never been washed until I took them out of the box and washed them.
So at one point, there was probably a slight layer of dust on these.
Oh, yeah. There was. Yeah, they were quite disgusting when I pulled them out of the box. I'll be completely honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you get sick, I should have had you sign a waiver or something that before you drank out of it.
Well, at least you'll be able to experience it while I'm on press row on Thursday.
There we go. Thanks again to Exile. Oh, wait. We got to give him a number. Got it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I gave the Steel Reserve one like a 4 something, and I think this is going to be a low fives for me. So I think it's going to be a 5.2 for me.
We've been doing too good with our beers lately.
Mm-hmm.
Either where our palate is adjusting.
Yeah, like we're getting so used to crappy beer that everything tastes fine now.
Yeah. Or the beers really just are not as bad as we thought they were going to be. Yeah. We really need to find a really bad beer.
Well, and the way to determine that would be go back and have some of the bad beers again and see if they still taste bad.
See, I feel like eventually we're going to have to drink Ice House again. Like that.
Is that going to be the punishment?
What if the punishment is that you have to shotgun an Ice House?
I like that punishment.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
No, that does not. Oh,
no,
gosh.
We have to do it. That's a punishment. That's a legit punishment.
Oh.
And it's okay. Well,
I regret picking Ohio more now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because UAB is definitely going to win that game.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Jared.
I don't want to drink a whole Ice House. That would be. Oh, God.
That's the punishment because neither of us want to do it. So, congratulations to the loser who has to chug a full can of Ice House.
We can't really do that on the podcast, though. We have to do
that. That has to be a Facebook Live.
Yeah, that'll be...
Or Periscope.
Or, yeah, we'll Periscope it and put a video of it on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, Exile Brewing Company, for being the presenting sponsor of Stands and Fits. Go get some Strawberry Bohemian. I'd like to talk about this all the time. I feel like I've hyped this beer up a lot. I just really enjoy it.
It is really good. Like, I legit have a six-pack in my fridge right now, and like, I drink one like every evening. It's really good,
and I'd never really even had sour beers like that before, but I really really enjoy that.
Yeah, it's like the perfect blend of sweet and sour.
I was in bait shop the other night and they didn't have any. I was really disappointed.
Oh, that'd be good.
So I tried to find one kind of like it. That is definitely my beer of choice right now. So Exile Strawberry Bohemian, thanks to them again for being the presenting sponsor of Stands and Fits. I'll see you on Thursday night, dude. We're gonna have some fun.
Yelling at the refs, Regas and Ruckus on press row.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Thanks for everybody.
Finish it out, kid.
What is this Natty Rush doing to me? Thanks to everybody for listening, and we will talk to you guys again next week. Beat the Hawks.